Well, we're interrupting the normal course of programming. As you know, today is the day of Arba'in, marking 40 days after the martyrdom anniversary of the third Shia Imam, Imam Hussein. Millions of Muslims across the world are commemorating the day of Arba'in. Also, we're now going to go to one of these commemoration gatherings in Lebanon, in Baalbek, where Secretary General of the Lebanese Resistance Movement, Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, is addressing the gathering there.
This march, this gathering, this turnout at this place, where in the year 61 on the Islamic calendar, the women of the family of Imam Hussein and the heads came through here and they were put in this place where you stand. It was a very difficult, painful position, a sorrowful position. Now, by walking on the same road, on the same geographic path, you are presenting and giving a message to the whole world. This message is that this path of morality, this path of faith, of jihad, this road of jihad, which was brought about because of great sacrifices ever since day one of the days of the Messenger of God, may peace be upon him, until Badr and Uhud and also the Battle of Karbala, this road and this path will remain alive, will remain strong, will remain full of people, and will continue and will be able to create an ummah, will be able to push the ummah to take stances of together around the shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, may peace be upon him, and his brother Abi al-Fadl al-Abbas, may peace be upon him, in the city of Karbala today, during these very same hours. We realize, because of all this, who has achieved victory, who achieved victory in that battle, and who was defeated, and what logic which brought about immortality. The logic of express your anger as much as you want, do what you want, you will not be able to wipe away our memory. Is this the logic which achieved victory, or is it the logic of Hashim played games with the kingdom and there was no news? Is this the logic which was victorious? The logic of Zainab or the logic of Yazid? The logic of Hussein or of Yazid? The logic of Islam or the logic of ignorance, the project of Islam or the project of ignorance? Today, what we are witnessing in the world and what we witnessed over the past centuries stresses who achieved victory. Our Imam Zain al-Abidin, may peace be upon him, spoke about this. The leader of the convoy, of determination and commitment, when Imam Zain al-Abidin, may peace be upon him, entered into a city and somebody asked him, who achieved victory, then Imam Zain al-Abidin, may peace be upon him, responded and said, if you hear the adhan, the call for prayer, you will realize who has achieved victory. If you listen to the adhan or the call for prayer, whereby we hear Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, there is no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet, may peace be upon him, then you will realize who has achieved victory. And today, we also know who has achieved victory. We know this when we hear the name of Muhammad, the Messenger of God, when we hear this name from the mosques and from different places, when we hear this name in the media stations and radio stations, five times a day, throughout the world, throughout the globe, we know that the blood achieved victory against the sword in Karbala, and that the project of Hussein, the grandson of Muhammad, achieved victory in the year 61 on the Islamic calendar. And the women and Zain al-Abidin, the family members and the heads which were on the spears, and the women who were handcuffed or chained, those who were brought for a long area, from a long journey to Baalbek and to Damascus, they are the ones who achieve victory. They are the ones who are present today. By this commemoration, we stress on this meaning. We stress the meaning of the life of this project, the life of this ummah, the life of this religion. And we also express our commitment and our pledge and our thanks and our recognition that we owe it to the Messenger of God, to the family of the Messenger of God, to his companions, to the martyrs who fell with Hussein in Karbala, those who with their sacrifices were able to preserve for us this holy message and were able to send this message throughout generations, so that we in this era of time, we be people who believe in this message, who are committed to this message, and people who work for this message, people who bring about victories. We make our victories, our heroics, our present and our future, and our unity, the unity of our ummah and the dignity of our people is all related to this message. My brothers and sisters, the importance of commemorating this great occasion, especially these current years, has a special significance. Just as what happened in some periods of history, today, walking to Karbala, the human being walks at the time where he is under threat of bombings, the threat of suicide attacks, massacres, mass killings. So by this takfiri, extremist methods which are being used by America in order to bring about sedition, a bloody sedition between the sons of this ummah and the different sects of this ummah. However, regardless, these bombings and these suicide operations over the past years, have they succeeded in preventing this love from being expressed to Hussein and to the grandfather of Hussein? Has it been able to prevent the direction of billions who walk on their own two feet to the shrine of Abi Abdullah Hussein, may peace be upon him? Killings will not stop the Pakistanis who are being subject or the target of bus bombings on their way to the holy shrine. And the assassinations and the killings and the bombings won't also stop the Iranian pilgrims or the Iraqi pilgrims or the Lebanese pilgrims or any pilgrim who is visiting Hussein, may peace be upon him, from wherever he may come. The kidnapping of pilgrims will not prevent the visit being continued, will not prevent these people visiting this commemoration. This issue was given for the sake of its continuation, its immortality. For the sake of this immortality, tens of thousands of martyrs have fallen. And I'd like to say today, I'd like to tell those killers, those who commit the massacres, I'd like to tell them that these methods won't be beneficial, won't lead to anything. This is wrong. This will lead to more commitment, to more conviction, to more solidarity with respect to this direction and this path. And such methods cannot change the thinking of anyone or the conviction of anyone. And these methods must be reconsidered, whether it be inside the Islamic circle, those who have disagreements with us, disagreements in our ideas or with the sect or with the path or the means, whether they be amongst the Shia or the Sunnis or even in general. What does it mean when we witness over the past few years and especially last year, bombings for churches in more than one country, Islamic and Arab country, or the bloodbaths against Christians, the slaughtering of Christians in churches under the excuse that they cannot commemorate their own occasions, Christmas or New Year. Even from the Islamic perspective, who says that you are allowed to do this? This is part of the traditions, the customs which Islam respected throughout history, ever since Islam came into being. In all these areas, these churches commemorated their own occasions. Christmas, they had their occasions, they celebrated their occasions. So you are the ones who are bringing about a new religion. You are the ones who are bringing about a new way of belief. When you want to impose the details of your thinking by slaughtering and by killing and by massacres and by bombings, and this won't lead anywhere. No, this is a dead end, and it must stop anyway. My dear brothers and sisters, we in Lebanon and in the region, we are living one of the most important and dangerous periods, one of the most sensitive periods as well. And those who control the atmosphere in the region, or what controls the atmosphere in the region, is the atmosphere of sedition. And unfortunately, for many people, the compass has lost. They no longer know the right direction, and priorities have been mixed up, and the evaluation has changed, the balance has changed, and the feelings and the sympathy and the hatred has the upper hand. Even the rhetoric which we hear from different podiums, thank you very much, but they just gave me information that you can now see me on the big screen, that helps. Unfortunately, when we listen to what is said on the podiums, or even when we watch satellite media channels and dialogue or political programs, we no longer see dialogue. We see curses. We sit down 1 or 2 hours, all we hear is curses. Only rarely do we hear something else. This is a very dangerous period. And this means that the human being in such a period, in such times, must be more calm and must listen more and must be more precise and must assume more responsibility, because the current phase is very delicate and everything is being mixed up a lot. What is most dangerous, the most dangerous factor which our Ummah is facing, especially over the past few years, is the recreation or the renewal of the project of dividing the region, dividing the divided into small cantons based on a sectarian basis or on a racial basis or on a party basis. Even the country whereby we have one religion, one sect, they want to divide it north, south, east, west, or divide it according to tribes or tribal loyalties. We here, on the day of Islam and the commemoration of Islam and the Ummah, we stress our stance in principle and our ideological stance in rejecting any kind of divisions or any kind of calls for separation or dividing in any Arab country or in any Islamic country. And we call, with all insistence, we call for maintaining the unity of every country, whatever be the sacrifices, whatever be the hardships, whatever be the injustice, and whatever be the rightful legitimate demands. And we are not speaking about dreams or imagination. This is what we're witnessing in many Arab countries, from Yemen to Iraq, whereby we are witnessing the renewal of sectarian sedition, and also Syria, which is under a threat more than any time before, to Egypt, to Libya, even Saudi Arabia. More than one Arab country, more than one Arab state, we have projects for dividing and plans to divide, and we must confront these plans. Yes, in every country whereby the people can reach an understanding about managing their affairs, about the form of rule, this is something which is open, which is allowed for, but under the ceiling of the unity of the state and not going or hurrying towards dividing the countries. Now, with respect to Lebanon, which I must stress today, more than any time before, I must stress that we hold on to the unity of Lebanon, the nation, the territory, the people, the state and the institutions. And if we see from here or there certain plots to divide into small cantons or plans for different emirates or islands, the Lebanese must reject this. And this Lebanon is smaller than to be divided or separated. So if this plan has the ability to be alive in any other country, the ability does not exist at all. The Lebanese today are called upon to commemorate, to revive this logic, the logic of preserving the unity of this nation and the people, the territories and the institutions. And we are also called upon to reject any kind of division. Number two, I said the first part without saying the first point. Anyway, second of all, we must recognize, we must not hide behind our fingers. We must recognize and say that Lebanon is the country which is affected by what is going on around it more than any other country, especially with respect to what is going on in Syria. Because of the structure of Lebanon, the internal structure, the pluralism, the different sects, the different political parties and affiliations, and also the conflict of internal interests and the magnitude of freedom, the good magnitude of freedom in Lebanon to express one's opinion or for political practice. And of course, Lebanon is affected by what is going on in Syria more than what is going on in any other country in the region because of the long borders between Lebanon and Syria, the only border country neighbor, the nature of relations, and also the complexity of interests. And what is most affected, the areas most affected by what is going on in Syria are the Bekaa and the north, Bekaa in western Lebanon. The north, because of the borders and the relations of the people between the people of the north and Syria, between the people of Bekaa and Syria, so the inhabitants of other areas might not feel the same effect which is felt by the people of the Bekaa and North Lebanon. So this is the reality of a situation. Today in Syria, we have a real war which is going on more than one level. Lebanon is a neighbor of Syria, and Lebanon is affected by this war. Ever since the beginning days in Lebanon, we had two approaches in order to deal or regarding how to deal with Syria. Let's leave the issue of disassociation from the situation in Syria. Let's speak in reality. There are two approaches. The first approach says that we as Lebanese, let us disagree with respect to Syria. That's no problem. Let everybody has his own opinion, his own convictions, his own analysis, his own vision, his own stance, which is expressed. These stances can be expressed in different ways. And on the media, we can discuss it. In our political stances, we can be in conflict. However, let's not kill one another. Let's not fight each other in Lebanon. Let's not bring the fighting into Lebanon. This is one approach. The second approach is the approach which wanted from day one and still wants until today and is in a hurry to bring the fighting into Lebanon. And they are trying to bring the fighting into more than one arenas. In some arenas were actually affected by such an approach. I don't want to name anyone here. And if they are incapable of bringing the fighting into these arenas in Lebanon, then they threat to begin fighting very soon based upon their vision or based upon a certain conclusion related to the way the events will end in Syria. We, ever since the beginning, we supported the first approach and we said, okay, let's disagree, even in the Lebanese government. Who was able to bring about this exit? Some people in the Lebanese government have a stance against Syria and there are others who have a completely different stance regarding Syria. 180 degrees different in their stance and fundamentally and in the language. This doesn't mean that we should confront one another and fight each other. This does not mean that we should kill each other. This was our stance. Yes, but there are people, other people in Lebanon, who pursued or exerted efforts by sectarian incitement and also by provocations, by cursing, by dragging other sides to fight on the streets. However, they weren't successful. And here, I must first of all point out the following. First of all, I'd like to point out that the stance of our political alliance and our stance and the stance of the Lebanese government, the current Lebanese government, this is the stance which we owe it. We owe it to this stance. We owe it to God, and then we owe it to this stance because this government prevented the fighting from coming to the Lebanese arena. And if the other political group was in power and was managing the country at this very sensitive period, then Lebanon would have been involved not only in internal fighting, but also fighting against Syria. And we all know what this means. And number two, we stress that we must be committed to this first approach. I call on you, especially those in the Biqa, which is affected by what is going on around it, and all of the Lebanese, especially in the north. I call on them for more patience, more perseverance, for more calm. I call on them not to be affected by the incitements. I call on them not to be dragged to any confrontations. Today, we are called upon, all of the religious sects, all of the groups, all of the political factions and powers are called upon to insist more and more on holding on to coexistence in our areas, in our different areas, in our cities, in our villages. And at the time of the crisis, people must not be far away, distance themselves from one another. On the contrary, today, more than ever before, the religious clerics, all of the religious sects, the politicians, the intellectuals, the high-ranking figures, the people, the figures of the villages, neighbors, villages next to each other, we are called upon for more communication in order to isolate any efforts for sedition, in order to prevent any tension, to prevent any piling up of problems which could lead to very dangerous results. This is the responsibility of everyone, the responsibility of all sides, without any exception, in order to preserve our country, to preserve our civil peace, to preserve our coexistence, to preserve the stability and security of our country. We must work in this way. I always called, and we always called, for assuming responsibilities. Responsibilities towards those people who are inciting and cursing day and night, and nobody has taken any steps against them. What we should do is to call and to be committed, and that's what I call on you to do. This is the strength of the stance today. It's not weakness. Nobody should understand this as weakness at all. Strength today is for our minds to control our nerves and for our will to control our stances and to open our horizon and vision and to act with responsibility. This is what is required. Number three, the issue of the Syrian refugees, or the refugees to Lebanon, the results, the effect of this. When we speak about the refugees, whether they be the Syrian families, the Palestinian families, or the Lebanese families who used to live in Syria and used to work in Syria. All of them are refugees. They are refugees in Lebanon at this current period. We can call them refugees or displaced. These are details. The terms are details. It's not a problem. These people, they represent a file, a humanitarian issue, a big humanitarian issue. Nobody has clear numbers. The last numbers which we heard from the Interior Minister spoke about 200,000 refugees in Lebanon, and the numbers might be more than this. In this perspective, we call, first of all, to deal with the issue of refugees and the file of refugees from a humanitarian angle only. We call not to politicize this issue in any way whatsoever. So the families, the refugees, the displaced families in Lebanon, they have come to the government and the people. They must be taken care of, whether they be people who support the Syrian regime or people who oppose the Syrian regime, or people who are in the gray area, not black or white, not opposing or supporting. This is a humanitarian issue. So this should not be politicized. And if there are any comments or reservations about the politicization, we must listen to such reservations and comments, and they must be addressed. We also cannot, as Lebanon, for any reason, we cannot close the borders with Syria. We cannot do this. With all our due understanding to the dangers, political dangers, the security dangers, the economic dangers, the social dangers, the different dangers regarding this refugee and the arrival of refugees. However, despite all this, for the same reasons which I mentioned before, we cannot close the borders. We cannot say we have made a decision to close the borders for any reason whatsoever. We must accept this result, this humanitarian result, and we must exert our efforts in order to address the repercussions of this issue, the economic, security, political repercussions. We must not resort to a negative choice where the dangers are a lot bigger than any other alternatives. Absorbing the issue of refugees requires an official stance, a big, clear official stance, and I think that the Lebanese government will discuss this issue today or very soon, a complete comprehensive plan in this perspective, and this also requires cooperation amongst the people. And today I call on you and all of the Lebanese, just as we called before, I called on you to take in these families in all different areas. Take them in our houses, in our public areas, in our institutions. Let's take these families in from a humanitarian, ethical angle, in a responsible way, despite the very difficult way of life, but the very difficult situation, financial situation, which the Lebanese are witnessing. This is a responsibility which we must not abandon. We are exerting our efforts as much as we can. However, all sides must pursue their efforts on the official level, and also the people must do the same. The real solution for the issue of refugees is not to close the borders. The real solution for the issue of refugees is to address the reasons, meaning to work and exert our efforts so that a political settlement can come about in Syria, a settlement which puts a stop to the bloodshed, which puts a stop to the fighting, which puts a stop to the war which is being waged, so that these people, these families, can go back to their homes and to their houses, so that they can go back to their land. And this is what is required today. And those who assume responsibility, the responsible side for the continuation of the refugees, is the same side which takes responsibility for the continuation of bloodshed. Those who are preventing are serving as an obstacle for the Syrians from going to a political dialogue and a political settlement, whether they be inside Syria or on the level of regional countries or on the level of the international community. These people don't think except about their own interests and their own plans, and they have false calculations, which I spoke about before. Ever since the events began in Syria, they said 2 months, then they said two more months, and two more months. Now it's been 2 years, and all factors show that this battle, if it continues, if the military option continues, it will be a long, bloody, destructive battle. And there is a horizon for a political settlement, which is an open horizon, but some people are disrupting this political solution, are serving as an obstacle to this solution. I'd like to say that the oppressive side, the criminal, the side which assumes responsibility for the continuation of bloodshed in Syria, and the side which assumes responsibility for the humanitarian catastrophes of the refugees who came to Lebanon or Turkey or Jordan or Iraq or anywhere else, this side is the one which prevents political dialogue and a political solution and a political settlement in Syria. And here as well, within the same point, I call on the Lebanese state and the Lebanese government to develop its political stance. And this is not in contradictory with the policy of disassociation. It is not contradicting such an approach, meaning the Lebanese state is called upon today to tell the Americans and to tell the Europeans and to tell the United Nations and the Arab League. The Lebanese state should tell them that in this way you are putting on Lebanon responsibility which it cannot assume. Economically, socially, secure from the security perspective, politically, Lebanon cannot put up with this. It's not enough for us in Lebanon to speak and to make speeches and to speak about the repercussions. There must be clear, serious political steps. Lebanon's political stance must be developed to exert pressure or to help, together with all those people who are putting pressure for the sake of a political solution in Lebanon and a political dialogue and a political settlement. We must not stand with our own two arms crossed and absorb the repercussions and the results of these events. Number four, the kidnapped Lebanese pilgrims in Syria. This is also a result of the Syrian events. Previously, you noticed that I, together with my colleagues in Hezbollah, we were always trying to stay away from speaking about this issue so that this won't be misused, so that any slogan or stance won't be taken advantage of. However, unfortunately today, And after this very long time, it has become clear that this issue is being taken advantage of, this file is being taken advantage of politically and ethically and in the media in a very bad way, in a very ugly way. And the incitement on nations is being taken advantage of to bring about a negative atmosphere in our country and to try and bring about confrontations between the people. We, from day one, we told the families of the kidnapped pilgrims, you must hold the state responsible. The state is concerned. They are Lebanese civilians, and the state assumes the responsibility for the fate of these pilgrims. And we called on the families not to block the roads. We called on them not to resort to negative behavior. This was a general national stance. Today, after all this time has passed, whereby we didn't reach the requested or the required result, when some families go down to the streets, some people come and speak about a political stance. And but it's normal for them to go ahead. They didn't ask anyone to do this. However, when the families feel from the state officials that the state is working seriously, then the families won't need to resort to the streets. I personally, I consider that the steps taken by the state, not the government, but the state in general, the steps taken by the state in this file are not convincing and not satisfactory. With all due respect to the efforts which were exerted, some of the presidents, some of the officials, some of the ministers say we called, we went, we came, we held a meeting, but this doesn't solve the situation. Today, the Lebanese state, which says it is a state and assumes a responsibility for its citizens, this state must pursue different efforts. Now, I have 2 points. The first is that I call very clearly on the Lebanese state and the Lebanese government to negotiate directly with the kidnappers. What's the problem? This happens everywhere throughout the world. The biggest countries in the world do this. The countries which say that they reject to negotiate with the terrorists, they negotiate with terrorists. So nobody should say that we have political factors which prevent it. If we continue to wait as a Lebanese, if we wait to speak to the Turks, and then the Turks, they understand Arabic or don't understand Arabic, and then they take some steps, we don't know where we'll reach. In the current way of doing things, we won't reach any results. First of all, I call for direct negotiations. The Lebanese government must assign one of the officials to go to Turkey to find a way to sit down with the kidnappers and to negotiate with them. This is one of the sides, and this is one of the means. Wise people do this, all countries do this practice. And second of all, the Lebanese government must exert unique efforts towards the countries which have an influence on the kidnapping group, on the group which kidnapped the pilgrims. Let's not lie to ourselves. There are some groups in Syria where countries have no effect on them. This is not true. There are some countries which finance and some countries which provide arms and some other countries which open borders. This means very clearly that there are 3 countries which have an effect and are capable of reaching a result in this issue: Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. Let's not mix up. Let's speak clearly. These 3 countries, they are paying the money, they are also financing, providing arms, and they are contacting the fighting groups, and Turkey is the one which is providing all the facilitation or facilities on the border. So the Lebanese state has its ties. Let them sit down in the Arab League, in the OIC. It's not accepted, however, for official X to say, I called, I spoke. This doesn't mean that they are not seriously following up the issue. I still call on the families to rely on the state and the efforts pursued by the state. However, in the end, my dear Lebanese state, if you find yourself incapable, why? Come, tell the families of the pilgrims, tell the political factions in Lebanon, tell us as well, tell us that we, the Lebanese state, are incapable. And then people would go and look for how to address this issue, how they can assume responsibility, how we should behave, what they should do. In the end, the options are not limited. So in this perspective, I call on the Lebanese state to behave responsively, in a responsible way and not to only blame the families or to comment on some statements made by the families and the anger, because they are angry, of course. They are angry because they haven't found from this state the serious practice and behavior to address this matter. Number five. And before or after number five, I will conclude. Today, we have a very big issue whereby a lot of hopes are being pinned on this issue in order to help Lebanon regarding its economic crises and its social crises, the financial crises as well. This is the issue of gas and oil. Now, we always insist that this issue must be addressed by the Lebanese state. It's a responsibility of the state. The state itself is capable by its responsibilities and its institutions and its authority. It can address this issue, the financial issue, the issue of daily life. And the consecutive governments, they take responsibility for the stage which we have reached in Lebanon, economically, socially, and otherwise. Now, in order not to attack each other, let's say there is a door of hope. The door of hope is the riches of gas and oil, the promising riches which all of the Lebanese officials are speaking about. And God willing, this blessing will be a blessing and not be transformed into a curse. Because we're hearing some words today, there are some documents, as some media reports and some studies which say that one of the reasons behind what is going on in some of the neighboring countries is related to gas and oil. So some countries could be destroyed for the sake of certain international sides to come and put their grip on these riches, on these resources, between brackets. Today, we have hope. If Lebanon is able of benefiting seriously from these resources, this will provide appropriate financial abilities for Lebanon to pay its debt and to address the social crisis in order for us not to continue fighting each other regarding salaries and about the university professors and the areas or the poor areas, because poverty brings about more and more problems. However, money and resources with sectarianism and injustice, this also could lead to a curse and hardships of a different kind. The current government implemented many different steps, took many different steps in this regard. This is something which we must record, which we must recognize. It's a very complicated issue as well. Now we're going towards the important steps. We must here highlight something which is negative. Unfortunately, our enemy, which stole our land, our occupying enemy, the stealer, which stole the resources of the Palestinian people, this enemy has carried out all the steps, and in 3 months, according to the media, the Israelis will begin to extract oil and export and sell oil. And we Lebanese, we were still preoccupied with the introductions. The second period, how long will it take? We don't know. This requires a serious approach, a nationalistic approach, a responsible approach from all of the leaders and officials in the state. And the issue of oil must be dealt with not as a personal issue or as something which belongs to a political party or a religious sect or a specific area or region in Lebanon. If there is oil in Lebanon, in the Lebanese Sea, whether it be in the south or in the north of Lebanon, these riches, these resources are for all of Lebanon and for all the Lebanese people. And we must act with this issue as if it is a historic national opportunity in order for Lebanon to exit the current period, the situation it is in. This background requires a different kind of behavior. There is another important question which we must answer, which is that these resources could also bring about threats or Israeli dangers, especially with respect to the areas which might be intersected under water or under the ground. Now, technically, I'm not an expert, but in these areas, even the drilling companies or the companies which might come to work, they could be subject to threats from here or there, or from the Israelis, or from the masters of the Israelis, to prevent Lebanon from taking advantage of these resources. Now, the Lebanese state, how should it address this matter? Here we call for a national strategy. If you leave it to us, we're ready. This is very frank. Previously, the state left the issue of liberating Lebanese territories to the Lebanese people. The state was absent and negative at that time. It was negative. However, regardless, the Lebanese people, by the factions of different parties, the Lebanese people stood up and fought, and we saw the liberation in 1985 and also in 2000, and the popular resistance in Lebanon proved that it is able of protecting the country. Okay, so if you want to leave this issue of oil to the Lebanese people, okay, then the Lebanese people and the different components will see what the choices are. The choices are clear. However, do you want to put together a national strategy to protect the oil and gas resources? Israel has a clear strategy. Israel, my dear brothers and sisters, and to all the Lebanese, you must all know, to protect only because they have these oil resources, these national resources. They made adjustments in their air force power and in their rocket power and in the air force power again, in the military maneuvers and everything which is required in order to preserve and to protect the oil resources militarily and on from a security level and also technically and from the intelligence level. Israel took all of these measures at the same time whereby Israel was drilling, carrying out all these steps. We in Lebanon, what did we do? Do we have two rockets whereby we can defend our country? We sleep and we wake up and everything we hear are the weapons of resistance, the weapons of resistance. Is this the way to protect the oil resources, the historic opportunity for Lebanon and in order for Lebanon to exit this situation now? If you don't want the people to assume responsibility by themselves, then you as a state must put together a strategy. If we cannot put together a national defense strategy, a comprehensive national defense strategy, we can't do this because some sides are imposing impossible conditions to come to the dialogue table. The dialogue table, or the Lebanese government, or the higher defense council, I don't know who, they must sit down and say that this is our strategy to protect the natural resources of oil and gas, and what is required from us as resistance, we are ready. Whatever is required from us, we are ready. And as long we have always put up with injustice and negative repercussions, and we were never partners in the injustice, and you all know this, and we are ready to assume responsibility once again, because the blessing of this will be for our country as a whole, for all our nation and our people. We are not looking for any stakes, any percentage, any stocks, nothing. However, what concerns us a lot is that Lebanon as a nation, people and state will be able to extract these resources and take advantage of them for the sake of the people in general. And in this perspective, I must stress on the day of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, may peace be upon him, on the day of commitment, on the day of the solid stance, which was expressed by Zainab and Zain al-Abidin, even the young children who were in this convoy, we also expressed the same stance. And we know that next year we will be up against, with respect to resistance, we shall be up against very big, important challenges. And the Israelis and the Americans, they are working in order to isolate us throughout the world and in the region. And there are efforts being pursued in order to blacklist Hezbollah, to put it on the European Union terrorist list. And there are American decisions to prevent any Hezbollah activities in Latin America, and efforts are being pursued in the Arab and Islamic world as well in order to demonize the resistance in Lebanon and in order to take revenge against this resistance which defeated Israel and embarrassed the Arab leaders and regimes and also embarrassed many of the factions which allege resistance in this ummah. However, I'd like to tell you on the Arba'een of Abi Abdullah, Imam Hussein, may peace be upon him, all of these efforts will go to waste. Today, they have begun to discuss in America and Israel, they have begun to discuss the effects of the events in Syria on the level of arming Hezbollah and arming the resistance in Lebanon. They are looking in detail. Are the weapons still being transported, or has this stopped? This weapon stockpile, is it beginning to decrease or not? What is the horizon of the Hezbollah stockpile of weapons in the future? And there are some who are helping them, because their only job day and night is in Lebanon. We have this ability of strength which we must isolate and wage a war on and put an end to. However, on this day, the day of Zainab, may peace be upon her, we'd like to tell America and Israel and all those who stand with them, all those who conspire with them, express your anger. Do what you want. Do whatever you want. I swear to God, you won't eliminate our memory. You will not defeat us. By will. Today, on the Arba'een of Imam Hussein, may peace be upon him, we remember the stance on the day of Ashura, and we tell the whole world which thinks and relies and believes that they can touch us. We'd like to tell them in 1985, what did the resistance have? What kinds of weapons did we have? Equipment? What were the numbers of the fighters of resistance? But regardless of this, we defeated Israel, the strongest army in the region. In year 2000, what did the resistance possess? Its weapons, its equipment, and the numbers. But regardless, it also defeated Israel in 2000 and even 2006. Yes, the capabilities were better. However, it cannot be compared to the capabilities of Israel and the abilities of Israel. You are mistaken when you believe that our strength is related to the number and the types of weapons and equipment. Our real strength lies in our faith, lies in our will, lies in our determination, lies in our love for Allah, for God, for the Messenger of God, and for Sayyid al-Shuhada, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Our will for a dignified life, our culture, which says that life is with your death and death is better with your presence. You are mistaken when you believe that our strength, the strength of our stance, is from numbers. Our strength is from Karbala, and we repeat this slogan every day with the stance and in practice and in action. Once again, we say, have you put me in front of a choice between humiliation. Throughout history, this has been said. Two choices between humiliation or martyrdom. Today, we once again remember the stance of our Imam Zain al-Abidin when he was chained in the convoy of the families, which has a great big negative psychological effect. However, when he was threatened to be killed by Ibn Ziyad, Imam Zain al-Abidin said what is well known: are you threatening me with death? And this is what we tell all of those who threaten us. We tell them what our Imam said when he was chained and cuffed. We say what our Imam said, and we were and we still be. We still are getting stronger and stronger. We will make victory after victory. Are you threatening me with death? Death and killing for us is something normal, and our dignity from Allah is martyrdom. Isn't this our culture? Isn't this our thinking? Isn't this our faith? And we have proven this over the past 30 years. So, I'd like to tell the enemy, just like I'd like to tell the friend, to all those who are worried or concerned, and there are many of them today in Lebanon and the Arab and Islamic world, I'd like to tell you, do not be afraid for this resistance, because its will and its source of strength is somewhere else. Today, we are in the arena of Ra's Al Ain in Baalbek, close to the scene of the head of Imam Hussein and the convoy of his family, in the same place where Imam Musa Sadr, the Imam of the Muqawmah, stood and spoke. We are standing in the same arena whereby Sayyid Abbas al-Musawi, the former Hezbollah Secretary General, spoke. We are speaking from the place where the resistance was launched from the very beginning in Lebanon. We say, and we renew our pledge to our Prophet, to the Prophets of Allah, to our Ummah, to all of the Prophets, to the martyrs, to all the free people, to all the honorable people in the world, to all of the sanctities, and to all those who reject injustice and oppression and occupation. We'll tell them we are here. We will stay here in the battleground of Karbala, of Hussein, may peace be upon him. Nothing will come between us, whether it be cold weather or heat or death or killing or threats or sacrifice, or anything, whatever be the magnitude of our sacrifices. Our slogan will always be, we answer your call, Imam Hussein. May peace be upon Sayyidi Mawlai Abi Abdullah Hussein, and may peace be upon all those who sacrifice themselves for your cause. I salute you. Praise be to God, may God's praise be on you as long as I am alive, as long as there is day and night. Let this not be my last pledge and my last visit to you. May peace be on Hussein, may peace be on Ali, son of Hussein, may peace be upon the children of Hussein and also the companions of Hussein. And my condolences to all of you. Thank you very much for your turnout. May God bless you. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, that was Secretary General of Lebanon's resistance movement, Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, addressing a gathering in Baalbek in northeastern Lebanon on the occasion of Arba'in, which is the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam. Among his comments, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah praised the stance of Karbala and the courage of Imam Hussein and his companions. He says the path of Imam Hussein will live on forever and that blood achieved victory against the sword in the Battle of Karbala. He says that the U.S. is trying to stir sedition, rather, among the ranks of the Ummah, and that division is the most dangerous threat the Islamic Ummah is facing today. Regarding the security situation in Karbala, he said that threats and assassinations will not prevent pilgrimages to Karbala. In his statement, he also mentioned the issue of Syria, adding that the country is under more threat than ever, and that Lebanon has been affected the most by the conflict in Syria. His message to those in Lebanon who have conflicting views towards Syria is that, quote, let's not fight and kill each other in Lebanon. He also lauded the current government in Lebanon for providing security in the country during such a sensitive time. He added that foreigners are trying to spread the violence in Syria to other countries, adding that we cannot close the borders to the Syrian refugees. In addition to that, he added that the real solution is to find a political solution to end the unrest in Syria. And if the Syria battle continues, it will be a long, bloody and destructive battle for the region, if not for the world as well. Adding that Turkey, Saudi Arabia and Qatar are financing and arming the rebels in Syria. He also said that we're ready to protect all our natural resources, our oil, gas and other resources from the Israeli regime, and has called for a national strategy regarding the vital issue. In his closing comments, he has said that efforts to demonize Hezbollah will go to waste. That's it with our roundup for now. Stick around. The world news is up next in less than about 20 minutes.